The reading is taken from Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I'll shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I'll fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
It was almost time for the Passover festival, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. There in the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. A whip from cords and drove all the animals out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He overturned the tables of the money changers. Scattered their coins. Yeah! And he ordered those who sold pigeons,
take them out of here! Stop making my father's house a marketplace!
His disciples remembered that the scripture says, my devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire. The Jewish authorities came back at him with a question.
What miracle can you perform to show us that you have the right to do this?
Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again.
Are you going to build it again in 3 days?
It has taken 46 years to build this temple.
But the temple Jesus was speaking about was his body. So when he was raised from death, his disciples remember that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, as we heard from Jonathan last week, after 70 years the exiles were home. Well, some of them were home, some decided to stay in Babylon. But for those who chose to return, it was a dream come true, back to the promised land, back where they belonged. But dreams can turn sour, can't they? Israel wasn't quite what it was in the golden age of David and Solomon. Homes needed rebuilding. Fields needed ploughing. Grapes needed harvesting. After all, the people needed to live, didn't they? But things didn't go well for them. Drought fell on the land. And Haggai came to tell them why. This is what the Lord Almighty says. My house, my temple remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. The people listened and they responded. They began to work on the temple. They put their best efforts into it, but the result was not quite what they dreamt of. I'm sure you've had similar experiences. Glossy holiday brochures, perhaps, that promise a sea view but deliver a room looking out onto a brick wall. Or birthday cakes, and I have form here. I've attempted cats, castles, a snare drum, a giant blueberry muffin. And the results are usually edible, but they really match up to the picture in my head. So the new temple did the job. It gave them a place of worship. But if you'd grown up with stories of the magnificence of Solomon's temple, then the structure they managed to build in a few years must have looked like nothing at all. Can you imagine how downcast they must have felt? And into this despondent atmosphere came another message from Haggai. Be strong, declares the Lord. Be strong, all you people of the land. Be strong and work, for I am with you. It's an echo of the Lord's message to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, and I myself will be with you. And then Haggai goes on to say, this is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. But of course, the Lord didn't have any kind of temple, only a tabernacle. But here, I think, is the heart of this message of encouragement, the covenant. God promised that he would be their God and make them a light to all nations. And God keeps his promises. See how the message carries on. I will shake all nations. I will fill this house with glory. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, declares the Lord Almighty. It's an astonishing promise, isn't it? Almost unbelievable. But Haggai showed them they could trust the promise because it was the Lord Almighty who had made it and he would fulfill it. He didn't need a magnificent temple, but he did require that the Israelites keep their side of the covenant, to put God first, to love him with everything they had. And if they did that, the Lord would do the rest. Over the centuries, the temple was improved and renovated, ending with the 46-year-long renovation carried out by Herod. Finally, the Israelites had a temple to be proud of. But what does this have to do with us? This is a promise to the Israelites at a specific time in their history. Can we just pick it up and claim it for ourselves as we look to rebuild the church post-pandemic? Let's think about that in the light of our gospel reading. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he drove out the sheep and cattle and overturned the tables of the money changers. You see, the Israelites might have been proud of the newly refurbished temple, but Jesus wasn't. It had become a place of commerce, a place of collusion with the Romans, a place of exclusion if you were poor or Gentile or female. But the key point of this story is what Jesus says next. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And of course, Jesus was talking about himself, his own body. He was claiming he was the new temple, that he was God's dwelling place. That God's glory, that visible, tangible presence of God, was fully revealed in him. The Romans destroyed the second temple in AD 70, but they couldn't destroy Jesus. Jesus is the temple that will endure to the very end of the age, fulfilling God's covenant promises. And since Jesus ascended to heaven, he's now represented on earth by the church, by us. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, "You yourselves are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells in your midst." And Jesus promises to Peter, "The gates of Hades will not overcome it, will not overcome the church." And that's how God's promise to Israel also applies to us. The glory of God revealed in Jesus and embodied by the church is greater than it any temple could ever be. And that glory will never be overcome. Perhaps you look back at days gone by when ladies wore hats to church and the pews were full and there were four Sunday school classes, and you might feel like the Israelites. This present church looks like nothing. We battle around in drafty buildings with leaky roofs while outside our friends and neighbours are shopping or washing the car or playing football. Over the last 18 months, we've lost so many of the connection points we had with the community. Things like Refresh Cafe, Sparks and Tots, Cameo, Open the Book, weddings, barbecues. We've been separated from each other. Some of our number have passed away or drifted away. How can we possibly rebuild? But Haggai's words reach down to us through the centuries, reminding us, "I am with you, do not fear. I will fill this house with glory." God is the builder. If we're faithful to him, then he will rebuild us. Now, of course, the Israelites rebuilt the temple with wood and stones, but the church is built of people. So what does rebuilding look like for us? Well, Paul reminds us of the starting point. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Our life together is founded in Jesus Christ, who died to make us one with him. So rebuilding the church must start with each of us continually turning to Jesus, trusting Jesus in the ups and downs of daily life. And Paul's letters also speak of building up the church. "Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." And "from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." For Paul, building up the church is about using our gifts to build up each other in love. And I think this is so important. Before we rush to restart lots of activities, we need to rebuild our fellowship, our community. We need to rediscover what it means to be the body of Christ as we're able to gather together again. Every single one of us has a part to play in this fellowship. Every single one of us can do something to build up another person. And every single one of us needs the gifts that others can offer. If Jesus is the foundation, then the next layer of stones is made by each of us looking at the person sitting next to us and listening to their story, laughing and weeping alongside them, offering a cup of tea, giving a word of encouragement and prayer, learning to disagree well, washing their feet, loving each other as Christ loves us. Does that seem a bit inward-looking when the church is meant to be outward-looking and missional? Perhaps it does. But the temple was meant to reveal the glory of God's presence. And if we're to reveal God's presence in the world, then we need to start with ourselves. Listen to Jesus. "Love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And again, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Then the world will know that you sent me." Our love and our unity bear witness to Jesus, and let God's glory shine out. As we build each other up, God will continue to build. He might point out a neighbour who needs help in the garden, a colleague who needs a listening ear, A teen who needs someone to believe in them. A friend who's ready to hear the good news. The new church might not look like the old one. It might look scruffy and frail. It might look like nothing. But the Lord is the builder, and the Lord says, be strong, all you people. Be strong and work together and build each other up and love each other, for I am with you, and I will fill this house with glory. Amen.